This is episode 421 of the 200 Churches Podcast.
You stated it well right at first, Jeff. It is a reality. It will be a growing reality. We can put our head in the sand all we want, but it is there. There's productivity that is just going to be incredibly enhanced. I mean, Google is going to look like the 1800s as we know it today, compared to what AI can do. The list is unbelievable. The warnings are real. The positives are real. You know, we shouldn't become so infatuated with AI that it becomes all of our life and ministry. I am infatuated with it now because I just have too much to learn. I know that if I go slowly right now, I will be behind. And so I'm inundating myself with it, but I don't plan for it to be the rest of my life.
Thank you for joining us on the 200 Churches Podcast. For more than 10 years, we've been providing ministry encouragement to pastors of small churches. Allow me to introduce one of those pastors, Jeff Cady, one of the co-founders of 200 Churches and the lead pastor of Community Heights Church in Newton, Iowa. Take it away, Jeff.
Thank you, Angela. This is the 200 Churches Podcast. My name is Jeff Cady. It's good to have you with me. Today, I'm going to cut this intro short because I don't like listening to these long intros. I want to get right to the guest. So our guest today, when I'm a listener, I like to get right to the guest. When I have the microphone in my hand, I like to talk to you, our faithful listeners. Hey, Tom Rayner is my guest today. We talk about the Great Commission. We talk about evangelism and prayer. We talk about his latest book, Pray and Go. We spend a fair amount of time on how pastors can use ChatGPT and how they can start thinking about artificial intelligence and generative AI. We talk about his hobby, churchanswers.com and churchanswers.university. He said if you're interested in the university, Church Answers University, you should email Matt, M-A-T-T, at churchanswers.com. He knows about the scholarship programs and any other information you need. Also, the other email address for it is CAU, Church Answers University, CAU at churchanswers.com. And then we talk about hopeinitiative.com. Lot of stuff in this episode. This guy's so fun to talk with. So here's my conversation with Thom, T-H-O-M, Tom Rayner. Tom Rayner, second time on the 200 Churches Podcast in a year. We're honored.
You know what that means, Jeff? It means you're really not a smart fella, or I did better than usual the first time around. So that's ultimately your choice.
You know what it means on my end?
What?
You're the co-host.
Okay. Well, I want to welcome you back. It's good to see me.
Well, welcome. Hey, we are recording this the day after Easter for context. So I'm giving you props. You're busy on Easter Monday. So that's great.
Well, you know, I'm no longer a pastor. I'm running this little thing called Church Answers and out of the official role of pastoral ministry. So I got to enjoy my church yesterday in a way that I wasn't busy. And I got to enjoy the Resurrection Sunday. I got to hear my son preach. I have two pastor sons and a third son that's in Christian ministry. And so I was just able to worship the Lord and not have to think about all the things that need to be done. So I don't claim pastoral weariness post-Easter Monday. I just, the rest of you guys out there, you deserve all kind of kudos, but not Tom Rayner.
Hey, you did your time though, right?
I did my time, four pastorates, and then I don't count interims, but I did 10. Interim is like a grandparent. You enjoy them and you love them, but when they start messing up, you give them back. Interims are pretty easy, all things considered.
That's cool. Tom, there's a couple things we want to talk about today, and in particular that you wrote a book, this book called Pray and Go.
Right.
It's not just a book, but it's a program. It's not just a program. It's an emphasis. It's not just an emphasis. It's kind of what I know you're hoping it would be more of a way of life for more churches and believers. Before we get to it, in fact, you know what? Let's talk about this book, because you and your son Sam both wrote books. Not is it Sam? It is Sam, right?
Well, I have three sons, and they all have their own books too.
Okay. Well, I presume
you're talking, Sam is the most involved with Church Answers with me. So that's probably the son you're talking about.
You guys have both written books.
Right.
He wrote a book about being a neighborhood church, neighborhood churches, and you've wrote this book on Pray and Go, and you talk about how it's not just an evangelism book, but it's a book about prayer, but it's not just a book about prayer. It's on evangelism. You cite the Acts chapter 2 scenario, actually Acts 1, where Jesus speaks to his followers. So talk to us just a little bit about that. What are you really hoping is the impact of this book? And let's just say in my church.
Let's start off by answering the Acts 1:8 question.
Yeah.
Jesus is about to be ascended to heaven. And as he is about to be taken up, he says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." Now, we are familiar with that as one of the major Great Commission passages, Matthew 28 and some others as well. But we need to also look at this as kind of a last will and testament. Jesus didn't die. He rose and he ascended.
Right.
But it was his last words on earth until he returns again. So we have to give it some import. Last thing he said to his earthly followers was, "Okay, you will be my witnesses." For many of our churches today, because of busyness, because of maybe misunderstanding in some ways, the Western church, specifically the American church, we have neglected the Great Commission to such a point that I don't want to get cliche, but it has become the Great Omission. And I think one of the enemy's greatest tactics right now is to just keep our focus in other places other than Great Commission, because he does not want to see an army of disciples and people become followers of Christ. And so we look at that first of all. We look at that issue and we say, if it was important to Jesus, it has to be important to us. Then we look at what happened afterwards. The church formed in Jerusalem. Now, I'm not going to give all the church history and for your podcast, Jeff, but I'm going to just give a quick overview. From Acts 2 all the way to Revelation 3, the entire context is about the local church, written to the local church, or for the local church or local church leaders. It's all about the local church. So Jesus ascends. He gives his last will and testament. I would do air quotes, but I'm not going to do that because they're a little cheesy. And then the church is formed. And what does that mean? His primary means of carrying out the Great Commission, not his singular means, but his primary means, is the local church. Okay, part two. Jeff asked the question, what does this mean for my church? Well, in some ways, we're talking about a book, but we're also talking about a resource, and I will explain in just a moment. When we at Church Answers ask the question, what can we do to come alongside church leaders, particularly pastors, and help do whatever help they need the most. What is it? Two things came out. One, help in evangelism, the Great Commission. Two, help pastors to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive, but those were the two things that we heard in our research and that seemed to resonate the most of what the church needs. Pray and Go is the book tool for an emphasis that we're calling the Hope Initiative. Now, I'm just going to get blunt, bold right now and say, please direct your leaders, or to your listeners, I should say, to hopeinitiative.com, hopeinitiative.com. There's nothing to sell there, but it's a lot of information. So hopeinitiative.com will explain a whole lot. So what we did, once we got what we thought was God leading us to work alongside pastors and other church leaders toward the Great Commission and toward equipping, we started moving toward two major emphases, one of which I'm talking about right now, which is the Great Commission emphasis. So then we asked the question, what are churches doing that are being highly effective in carrying out the Great Commission by at least how we can observe the metrics and the result and the fruit? Not a perfect study, but still a good study. We did that study for about 2 years, and then we began to say, okay, here are the best practices of these churches. What does this mean on how we can equip other churches, our church leaders, to equip their people? And so we then started testing, and we went to a phase called beta testing, beta churches, and we did essentially what we are advocating that many churches do today, which is the HOPE initiative using the book Pray and Go. And it is so simple and yet so powerful. It asks a handful of members in your church, grab onto that for a moment, handful. You can have the entire church do it if you want to, but success can come with four or five people. Okay. So you ask a handful of people to make a 30-day commitment. Each day they read day one of the book, day two of the book, and they make that commitment. This is not some smart thing that Tom Rainer has done. This is what we have taken from churches that are seeing the Great Commission carried out. And what are they doing? Well, each page has something different. Each day has something different. But for 30 days, they are praying and they're going, praying and going. Sometimes it's a study of scripture. Sometimes it's praying for pastor. Sometimes it's praying for the community. Sometimes it's walking in a neighborhood and praying church by home by home. And without even knocking on a door, we're encouraging churches, don't use this as a cold call mechanism. If you want to do that, that can follow. But this is a jump start. And here's the prayer, that it will change the Great Commission culture of the church. Hmm. Will it change it in 30 days? This is not a 30-day gimmick. But we have yet to see a church that hasn't had some type of cultural impact just with 30 days. And so some church is saying, this was so impactful for our church, we're going to take a month or two break, and we're going to do it again. We're going to bring some more people in. We're going to bring some more people. But the idea is jumpstart, get people focused on those things that really matter. And we have seen all kind of fruit. We've seen certainly some people become followers of Christ. We have seen churches become more unified because this leads them to focus on those things beyond themselves for the good of others, for the good of the kingdom. And so they're not focusing on the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. They are focusing on others. And when it's all said and done, our hope for your church, Jeff, just to personalize it, is that there will be greater unity, a greater sense of the power of prayer, and a greater desire in their own way to share the good news of Jesus Christ so that the church becomes more Great Commission healthy, in essence, totally healthy. So did I answer your question? I get kind of excited about it, so I'm sorry.
No, that's really good, because the last time you and I talked, we talked about prayer, and I remember you saying that the churches that you would get into, you would gather people to pray because praying always preceded evangelism.
Exactly.
And praying always preceded sharing the gospel. So this was maybe 6 months ago. Had you already written this material then? Probably. 6 months ago?
Probably, yes, I would have written it 6 months ago.
Yeah, yeah, or well on your way.
Yes.
And so you said four or five, because 200 churches is about churches mostly under 200. And so I think pastors will be glad to hear that. You're saying that it can make a difference even just doing four or five at a time. What is the commitment for 30 days for a group of a half a dozen people? So let's say they're going to form a small group. They're going to meet like one time a week during those 30 days, and they're going to be involved. What does that look like for them?
We recommend, first of all, an initial meeting of everybody going through it, which just okay. So the instructions can be given. We recommend a midpoint checkup. That would be after day 15. And then we recommend a third time to get together after it is all said and done. But the way that we have designed it and the technology that we have added to it is that every day these 30 will be sending a short text to their group. Hey, let me tell you what happened when I prayed, or let me tell you what I learned from the scripture. Very short. And so they will be connected day by day. It's a very simple technology where we bring the group together through a text messaging. And we're hoping that the pastor will be there to encourage them as well. It's a lot more effective when the pastor is there. So the accountability is not some type of checklist. Are you doing your job? The accountability is talk about what God has done in a sentence or two or three in a text. They can talk about it more at the midpoint. They can talk about it more at the end. But then our organization will send a reminder to anybody who participates for 11 months once a week following the 30 days. Now, it's not something where we're going to check up on people. It's the accountability is not necessarily built in anymore, but they will get 11 months So, you know, that comes to what, 48 weeks, something like that, 48 weeks. Yeah. They'll get a weekly reminder to do something.
Okay.
That's the simplicity of it. The book is the day-by-day guide. Here's what you're to do. Here's day. The book is really divided up in a complex way. When you go to day one, it says day one. When you go to day two, it says day two.
Come on. I was waiting there. I was waiting.
No. If we're going to design something, we're going to design it with simplicity, because we know simplicity often engenders effectiveness more rather than making it too complex. This is the guy that wrote Simple Church. So, you know, I'm going to do simple right, pray and go. Right.
Well, simplicity encourages completion as well. If it gets too complexity is the enemy. Okay, so this book is set up in 30 days, and every day you're looking at what, maybe like 10? Not that we want to minimize any of this stuff. This is all important. But just practically speaking, for pastors who are going to invite people into this, they're looking at maybe a 10-minute commitment every day?
We say in our instructions on it to prepare for an average of 20 minutes a day. Now, the reason behind that is that there are 5 or 6 days where we ask you to take a brief walk into a neighborhood and pray for the homes. That adds to the time. Most of the days are going to be 10 minutes. Some of them, a few of them, maybe 30 minutes. So we say an average of 20 minutes.
Gotcha. So this book, is it already out? Is it available?
Well, it depends. When does this podcast go out?
Okay. So it's the day after Easter. It's not available yet.
It becomes available June of 2023.
Okay. In June. All right. So, Pastor, you've got some time for that. So anything else that you want to talk about the pray and go side of this conversation?
Just a reminder that the overall initiative is called the Hope Initiative. And I've already given the website, hopeinitiative.com. Again, not selling there, just keeping information. And you can sign up for email to get regular updates on what is taking place. And just a reminder, the book, I hope, would be good for an individual. We think it would be better if groups went through it within a church. We think that it is better. We have used it to culturally benefit the church in a prayerful way.
Okay. And Hope Initiative, is this specifically or mainly evangelistic?
Evangelism and prayer.
Evangelism and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the Pray and Go program booklet or book, that's just the beginning. That's kind of the beginning of this thing, but you're probably going to continue to develop this.
We will likely continue to develop this. We want to see what direction God takes it before we begin to presume what phase two might be.
Okay. Okay. So I remember talking to you the last time and coming away and saying, okay, I've heard this guy on the podcast, you know, a zillion times, but as we talked, how did I just describe to my assistant, you're a force of nature. That's the term that I used in terms of like ministry knowledge, but more than ministry knowledge, like passion that pastors have that first year to reach their community. And then their first church, that first year, they're going to reach everybody in the community. And then the grind of ministry sets in. And I sensed from you that same passion, now you're post-ministry, and you're trying to inspire other pastors. And you took me back. You inspired me the last time we talked. So with that, and then recently we talked to Rick Warren about his Finish the Task program. Oh, are you familiar at all with – now, we didn't ever get to it. We never got to finish the test.
I can imagine Rick went on some detours when you talked to him.
I know, right? So we're going to get back to it.
Ideas. He doesn't even remember what the first one was. I love that guy.
I know. So we're going to get back to it next month. But here's my point. He's kind of a force of nature. It's just personality, just what, you know, God puts in a person. You're somewhat like that as well. And – you both have this heart for evangelism. You both still, can I say it? This is so crass. In your waning days.
Okay, I'm waning. You're just hoping I don't have a heart attack or stroke before the podcast is over. Yeah, all right, thanks so much, Jeff. What else you got here?
You know, in the last third of your ministry life, you both are so hot for evangelism. And you're also connecting it with prayer. Both of you are. So I'm just wondering, Our strong leaders are effective pastors, people who never lose that edge, who never lose that passion to see lost people come to Christ. And how has that been burning in you all these years so strongly?
I would say effective pastors or other leaders, church leaders, are people who renew their passion for evangelism and prayer. I have never gone every day of my life, every month of my year with that burning passion. I have backslidden, to use an old Baptist word, and started focusing on the things that didn't matter as much. And I have become distracted. But what God has done in my life is renewed that focus. And every time He renews that focus, He renews me personally. And most of the time, He allows me to help other churches to renew that focus as well. I came from a much maligned movement called the Church Growth Movement. Church Growth Movement is often misunderstood and misassociated with mega churches, which it is not, with gimmicks, which it is not, with numbers over people, which it is not. Now, definitely some strands that came out of church growth went in those directions. But the essence of the church growth movement began in 1955, to bore your listeners terribly, with a book called The Bridges of God by Donald McGavran. And Donald McGavran was then a missionary in India, and he asked the question, why aren't our churches reaching more people for Christ? And that became his burning passion up to his death. He ended up coming to Fuller Seminary, where he became dean. He started a movement that became the church growth movement. But what that he started today and what most people think is a church growth movement are not recognizable or compatible with each other. So he in many ways, by the way, just hit me. He's the person who inspired Rick Warren.
Donald McGavran
inspired Rick Warren. So I knew that Rick and I had that common bond together. I don't know if he knew Dr. McGavran. I only spoke with him one time, so I really didn't know him either. But he studied Donald McGavran while he was a student at Southwestern Seminary. And the same thing happened to me when I was studying as a seminary student. I saw that passion, and I said, what is it about this man that influences other churches? Well, he renewed his passion regularly for the Great Commission and for prayer. And by the way, you start talking about pastoral burnout. I've been seeing some CT and Barna articles about pastoral burnout.
Yeah.
Avoiding pastoral burnout can be doing those things which God energizes us. And we get pastorally burned out when we focus on the criticisms, focus on the naysayers, focus upon the grind of ministry, which is so real. We get energized when we focus upon those things that are nothing but strict obedience to what God's commission is to us. So it's a renewal for the pastor as well. We began this, the Hope Initiative, by saying, wow, this might bring hope to the churches. This might bring hope to the communities. And then one of our team members said, oh, this will bring hope to the pastors. And that's what I love. You know, we got 92% of churches that have an attendance under 250. And that therein lies my passion. I know your number is 200, but the data I've seen recently is 92% under 250. And therein lies my passion. Wow. And so what we have begun to do also at Church Answers is, again, I hope this doesn't bore you or the listeners. We've done price differentiation where we're beginning to say, let's do everything we can to keep it just a little above break even for any church under 250. And let's make it a ministry more than a business. And so we're hoping some of the larger churches will carry it. But if not, we're committed to doing whatever we can to make these type of initiatives affordable for not smaller churches, typical churches.
Ordinary sized churches.
Yes.
And it's the ordinary sized churches that can reach so many people. Not that megachurches can't or don't, but there aren't megachurches everywhere, but there are ordinary sized churches everywhere. And what I like about the Hope Initiative, what you've just talked about, is that it works. It works in a small church.
Yes.
And what I liked about your answer regarding the force of nature is that we all need to be renewed. Even you need to be renewed.
Most definitely.
In that it's not like, you've had that all throughout the decades. So
now, I love this: waning years, final third of ministry, the decades. You're going to have me dead here before this podcast is over.
You know, Well, I'm just saying, when I spoke with Pastor Rick Warren, I was literally the last one to talk to him live before the SBC expelled him. Well, I didn't want to use that word, but it, not him, but his church, I guess, is what it is. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow.
I can't tell you how encouraging you are. You've told me of you've reminded me of mortality, of my imminent mortality, and you're saying something bad will probably happen tomorrow. Look out.
Hey, just a couple of weeks ago, I turned 60. So I'm thinking about all that stuff you think about, I guess, when you turn 60. 50 wasn't anything, but 60 hit a little bit differently.
60 is an old age number. I mean,
it is.
It's the number of in the retirement vernacular. It's the Social Security number. It's all those things. I hit 67 years ago, so I want to go back. I just want to go back to the youth of being 60 again.
Well, so I'm going to enjoy it. Here's what I want to talk to you about before we're done.
Yeah.
Everybody is talking about AI. Anybody who's into technology, who knows, you know, the things that are coming down the pike, everybody's talking about Copilot with Microsoft and ChatGPT. And I wonder, have you dipped your toe into any of that? Are you understanding of any of that stuff?
I am certainly not an expert in AI. I have inundated myself in attempting to learn what is going on.
Okay.
Probably about 100 plus hours right now into just understanding AI. So you didn't ask me a question other than have I, and I could just say yes. Do you have any other questions?
But I will. I do.
All right. You go on. You ask the question. I won't expand on it until you ask the question.
Yeah, well, you've got stuff to say. So it's funny. People are having all kinds of opinions about something they don't know anything about. And all of these opinions could be pulled out of this context and dropped into 1996, 97, 98
when the internet
exploded. It's the same stuff. I mean, it's like this could do this, this could do that. Yeah, but what if, but what if, but what if? And what I've been trying to tell everybody close to me is like, it's not a what if. It just is. It just is.
It so is happening, and it will be a gaining reality everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. And so, Tom, what have you learned in your first few hundred hours of looking into ChatGPT and generative AI?
Well, of course, now I'm the foremost world's expert in the
event. That's right. You're the expert. Yeah. I haven't done probably 100 hours, but maybe close, because I'm thinking I don't want to be on the back end of this thing. I'd just as soon use it for good things and learn how to use it in a good way, in a redemptive way, right off the bat.
A lot of pastors over the years have used a database or some type of tool that has helped them, like word search or Logos or something like that.
Sure.
Technology has helped them to move forward. So you know, we know that is part of this. Your analogy to internet is prescient. It is, I'm hearing the same type of conversations where it's the Antichrist. That's one part of it. To the doubters, this will never make it. I remember my late father-in-law used to tell me this internet's thing ain't gonna never work. Well, this internet's thing, this internet's thing did work. It does, like some people have the argument. It does have a potentially evil side to it. It will show itself. And it does have a very helpful side to it. So you stated it well right at first, Jeff. It is a reality. It will be a growing reality. We can put our head in the sand all we want, but it is there. Now, what is it about it that might put up some warning flags, at least at this early stage, for pastors? And it's what you would anticipate, I would say. And it's the issue of plagiarism. Now, you say, well, no, wait a minute. I've got this AI software, or I've got this app, and it says it's all original information. Well,
right.
You know, it's scraping data. It's getting it together, and it's putting it in a form that no one has ever put it in form, which is what we do when we write papers. I mean, there's the writer of Ecclesiastes is right. There's nothing new under the sun. You just say it in a different way. However, there's a growing movement that is within academia that some of your listeners may have heard about, and it's called AI-assisted plagiarism. And AI-assisted plagiarism means just that you have put something that is original information, but not by you, but you're claiming it for yourself. And that's where the danger comes in. Oh, here's my article this week. Well, the tools are already being created right now for AI-assisted plagiarism, and you will be discovered if all you are using is AI-generated information. So that's one of those arguments or one of those warnings I'm putting out there. Don't think because it's never been said the way that AI said it before that it won't be known as AI. There's already all kinds of software now being used in the educational world to detect if something was written by AI. Don't ask me how it works. I don't even know how AI
DNA tests, essentially.
Yes, essentially. Yeah. So be aware that if you claim something for yourself that you did not write or say, it is still plagiarism. So plagiarism has been a big topic in the preaching and teaching world in the local church. Now, how can it be used for good? There are countless ways. There's productivity that is just going to be incredibly enhanced. I mean, Google is going to look like the 1800s as we know it today compared to what AI can do. It can enhance a lot of productivity, just like we do whenever we use any type of software, any type of data or digital-based resource. So I think that is going to be one of the good things. It is going to help us identify some areas more readily where we can be more effective in ministry and evangelism. We have tools out there. We have a tool at Church Answers called Know Your Community, and it's take census data and extrapolate it, et cetera, from a company called Esri, a database company. Well, it's going to even get better. It's going to tell us some things about our community that should make us more effective in our community. The list is unbelievable. The warnings are real. The biases are real. You know, we shouldn't become so infatuated with AI that it becomes all of our life and ministry. I am infatuated with it now because I just have too much to learn.
Yeah.
I know that if I go slowly right now, I will be behind. And so I'm inundating myself with it, but I don't plan for it to be the rest of my life.
Well, you and I are both in our 60s, but we're both thinking alike. Because yes. I don't want to be behind either. I want to know what people are talking about when they talk about it. So this past week, Kerry Newhoff sent out a clip of his voice done through AI and asked, you know, what do you think? Does this sound like me? Essentially to his followers. And I listened to it, and yeah, it sounded like him. And of course, the thought is now we can do the video. We already know we can lift video and create video of somebody. Now we can add their voice. Don't you think at some point, just the way Twitter puts a verified user little thing on their
blue check?
Yeah, it's actually them. Don't you think there's going to be some way to verify video after a while so that you're not just looking at YouTube? And because nobody's going to believe anything they see anymore. You can't. You can't just believe it. Seeing is not believing anymore. Somehow there's going to have to be some kind of a software or a system to validate and verify this is actually the real thing.
It's happening. I mean, to every movement, there's a counter movement. And as I said, with the plagiarism, now there's a movement toward detecting plagiarism. Now you're essentially talking about video-based plagiarism where someone else is claiming that this is carrying
yeah. off.
Not you, Kerry. Yeah. I love you, but where someone is saying that is Kerry speaking. We've seen it coming along for some time. We've seen the memes or the videos where it looks like President Lincoln is really talking to us. Now,
right.
We can't verify what he sounded like, but it's very believable. So, to your point, as software develops to make this seem more real, there will be counter prevailing software that will then ask the question: is it really real?
Well, I would just like to make this public confession that yesterday in the Easter service, I used ChatGPT to help me with my sermon. On my way out of the office, I asked it to write me a few Easter Bunny jokes. And out of the ones I used, the most favorite was, you know, why did the Easter Bunny have to see a counselor? He was feeling a little hollow.
Oh, gosh.
So that's the kind of stuff
that's almost a bad joke. So
yeah, no, for sure.
So I did this yesterday after church. It has nothing to do with what happened. My son, Sam, my oldest son, he's almost a curmudgeon about AI. I mean, I'm the dad that's saying, let's find out. Right, stay away from us. You know, he's really not. He's on the cutting edge. So I sent him for his enjoyment, this AI description of who is Sam Rayner. Okay. And I'll explain it to the audience in just as soon as I finish it. Sam Rayner is an evangelical leader, author, and pastor who served as the president of the Southern Baptist Convention from 2018 to 2019. He has written several books on leadership, church growth, and ministry. Sam has never been president of the Southern Baptist Convention.
I was going to say.
nor would he strive to be. He got a big kick out of that because, you know, hey, I told you. Well, those types of errors will improve over years. So don't think it's always going to be error prone. I use AI assisted technology to become my new Google in many ways, because I don't want to go through a list of you go to Google and you're going to get 15 or 20 ad based things first. And then finally you're going to find something you hope. So if I want a quick answer, I'm using AI.
Yeah. It is all very interesting. So is there one thing you would say to a pastor who is like, you know what, I got too many other things to do. I just don't have time to look into this.
Well, the pastor's probably right. But what I'll say is the ways that you can look into it will become easier and easier. So don't think it's not coming. Those pastors in the past that denied that they would ever use the internet now have email and now use Google. So it's going to become so pervasive. It will come to you even if you don't want it to. So just wait on it.
Okay. Hey, that's great. That is middle of the road coaching right there. I like that. So speaking of coaching, let's end with this. Church Answers. Is it churchanswers.net?
Com.
It is com. Okay. For some reason, I was thinking it was .net.
I don't know. I don't know if we have .net that pushes it to .com or not.
Oh, right. So for those who, there's going to be some who are going to, they've not heard of this before. They haven't heard of Church Answers. It sounds a little presumptuous, of course, but
it does.
Would you share, just talk about Church Answers and why it can be helpful for pastors?
Well, think of the elevator pitch, if you will, and I don't have anything precisely memorized, but it is Church Answers is an organization that helps churches to get healthier in practical ways and help leaders to be more effective, church leaders to be more effective in practical ways. So the emphasis is upon local church, the emphasis is upon healthy, and the emphasis on practical. That is, if you would, our niche. That is who we are. We're not a theologically educational institution. We don't do commentaries, although we have a university now, so that's kind of cool. But it offers certificates. That thing is growing too. I'm loving seeing that take place.
So this university, it's called what?
Church Answers University. Really original, Jeff.
Okay. All right. And you can take some courses on there?
You can get a full certificate in there, which is an alternative to a degree. We're seeing it started with Uganda. We put 50 Ugandan pastors, and because they had no formal education, so they couldn't even think about college, much less seminary. And so we created certificates, and we have two right now, more coming. One is the base, which is certificate in Christian ministry, and the other is certificate in women's discipleship. More are on the way. The next one, I think, is certificate in worship leadership. But what is happening, some bivocational pastors started picking it up. Then some smaller church pastors who are full-time started picking it up and said, you know, I didn't get to go to seminary, but I sure would like certification from there. And now what we're seeing is churches of all sizes pick it up so that they can become a ministry training center of their own. In fact, that's what we call it, an MTC, a ministry training center. And so you might have a lay person who's very good at senior adult ministry, but would like some more training. So they go through Church Answers University. It's 10 courses. It is all digital. So it's go at your own pace. The pastor can lead it. The full amount, including all the textbooks that are provided, is $1,500. And we make that payable on payments, or someone can request a scholarship fund for portions of it, because we're getting some very generous donors that are saying, I want to help smaller church leaders.
Do you have the data on how many pastors don't even have a Bible college degree? Have you seen any of the research on that?
Don't hold me to a precise number. It's between 6 and 7 out of 10.
That's what I saw. And I thought, more than half of pastors don't even have a Bible college education.
Right.
So something like this. So I was able to go to Bible college years ago. Mm-hmm. Recently, I was able to get an MDiv through a hybrid program. And now I'm working on finishing up a doctoral program. And very thankful for it. But if I wasn't doing that...
I'm glad you're doing this in your last third of ministry, Jeff.
Amen. I'm trying to keep myself young.
Yeah. But
I like to, if I'm paying tuition, I feel young.
Well, we want them to pay fewer dollars. And so we have some 50% scholarships. Let me say this. Nice. Last time I ticked, we had some where people are saying, if someone does not have the funds, here's $750 if they'll pay $750. So I know we had some last week. I'm thinking that we do this week. So let me just say this. Anybody that is interested in Church Answers University, we didn't say we're going this way. Simply write Matt, M-A-T-T, at churchanswers.com.
Awesome.
He knows scholarship issues and that. Or you can go look at it at churchanswers.university.
Churchanswers.university. Mm-hmm. Churchanswers.com. Matt at churchanswers.com.
That's three. Is that too many for one podcast?
No. Uh-uh. These are easy. These are easy these days. We all understand that lingo, but that's really helpful. And I know you would, and I would encourage anybody who really wants to have that training, but they're not in a spot where they can do it.
Best scholars. I mean, you talk about William Cook, professor of New Testament at Southern Seminary. Mm. He does our New Testament. You go down the list and they're just incredible. They're scholars, but they love the local, and they love the local church.
I remember flipping through that years and years ago. I bought a set of DVDs that had basically a seminary program on them, and I remember watching those things over and over and over because I wasn't in a spot. I had four little kids. I couldn't go and get a seminary degree at the time. So now it's just so convenient. I just want to encourage pastors to take advantage of that. So,
and soon to be announced, but we're not going to be talking about it anymore. We will be going in partnership with a seminary /university who will then say, if you want to go to the next level, we will take a good bit of Church Answers work toward that.
Oh, nice.
So you can pocket it for the future as well.
Very nice. Yeah.
If you want to.
Yeah.
It is. Exceeded all of our expectations. And the great thing about it is Tyndale said they will publish the textbooks. And when someone signs up, they send them the entire box of textbooks for their all 10 courses. No more charge to it.
That's great. That's wonderful. Well, hey, I'm going to talk to Sam next week. Do you have any warnings before I do?
Just say that his father referred to him as a curmudgeon when it comes to AI, and just see where he goes with that.
All right.
He is Mr. Expert on the neighborhood church. I'm not sure when his book is coming out, but I'm sure he'll tell you.
Yeah, very nice. All right. Well, hey, Tom, thanks so much for joining us today. And write another book and we can do this again.
Yeah, that'll be every other month, so I'll see you.
What a fun guy to talk to. I hope that in a whopping 7 years, when I'm Tom's age, in my waning years, that I will have as much energy and enthusiasm as he does. So, Pastor, I hope you were encouraged by this episode. There was a lot to be encouraged by. When we talked about AI, artificial intelligence, and I asked him to answer the pastor who says, hey, I just don't have time for it. He says, don't worry. It'll get easier and easier to access and understand because it'll come to you. You don't have to go to it. That was a great reply, and I think that's so true. It's happening, and I want to be on the front end of this, using it for good things. He said there was an evil side to it. You know, that's partly true. It's not so much that there's an evil side to AI. It's that there's an evil side to humanity, right? It's called total depravity. We are sinners. And any good thing in our hands, we will find a way to use it for evil. You think about 25 years ago, in the very nascent days of the internet, people could be saying, oh, you know, this might happen, that might happen. It's all happened. In fact, it's all happened and worse. You think about the scourge of online pornography and how that is rotting the souls of so many people. That's horrible. It's terrible. It's a horrific thing. And yet it's a reality in our world. And sin is horrific and terrible. It's a reality in our world. So if you're a pastor and you see something like AI coming down the pike, I think we have to ask ourselves, how can we leverage this very powerful tool for good? In the same way that believers around the world have leveraged the internet for good, and the gospel has spread to places it would never have gotten to without the advancement in technology. So, Pastor, let's us local church leaders be on the cutting edge and on the front edge of this to help our people even understand ways to use it and then ways to be very, very careful in not allowing it to take us in some negative directions. And then again, Pastor, churchanswers.com, check that out. He's got I want to say it's $9.95 a month. It's a very, very low price, and you can get a lot of encouragement there. Churchanswers.university, if you want to take some online courses. If you've never been to Bible college or seminary, man, that would be an awesome, phenomenal place to go for a great education. And as he said, they're going to be partnering up with a university very soon that will, if you want to go forward with a degree, that will take a lot of the Church Answers work for credit. Contact Matt at churchanswers.com if you have questions about the university. And if you want to help your churches in this Pray and Go initiative, hopeinitiative.com. Hopeinitiative.com. It's just some wonderful resources. I'm so honored that we could share them with you here on the podcast. And I said earlier that there were a lot of things to be encouraged about. On this episode, he talked about 92% of churches being under 250. And I just want to say, if your church is under 250, you're in good company. And you've got an opportunity to allow your church to do ministry in your community in ways that it'll be have outsized impact. Based on the size of your church, you can have such impact in your community. Change lives, change generations of families as you help them find that connection with the Lord. So I just want to encourage you, Pastor, if you're in ministry, if you're in the game, if you're in the arena, you can make a big difference in your community through the ministry of your 200 church. So go for it. Have a great week this week, and I'll catch up with you next week on the 200 Churches podcast.
My name is Angela, and I'm so glad you've stuck with us to the very end. We'd love to have you leave a rating or review wherever you listen to this podcast. Until next week, may God bless you as you lead and love His church.